Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lengthy text is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and includes verses 1 to 18 as follows. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another man steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So far the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring you an important gospel message in the name of our Savior, who has the whole world in his hands, dear fellow redeemed. Can you think of something that's always open, 24/7, 365 days a year? It's not that hard in today's world. They used to say about small towns that they roll up the sidewalk at night and there's not a sound or a car to be heard. But today, Walmart is open all the time, or almost all the time, so are many restaurants. In fact, the restaurant Denny's, it always says always open on the sign, in fact, or many of them do. Although that ended in 1988. That year, on Christmas Day, for the first time, just about all of the 1,000 or so Denny's restaurants closed their doors. Many of them had been built without locks on the doors. Others, the managers had long ago lost the keys because they never used them to lock the doors because they were literally always open. Always open, always available for the late night traveler or people who get up really early. In the restaurant I grew up working in, this was called the graveyard shift, and I think that reflected on the kind of people who have a need for pancakes at 2 a.m. Well, somebody has to do it, and not just not important things like pancakes. Somebody, while the world sleeps, has to clerk and cook. There have to be hospital people and first responders at the ready, and they're up. There's someone else who is always up also, and that is our God. He's always alert, taking care of his whole creation. He takes no rest from his labors. It's true, the Bible says that he rested on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of creation, having created the whole world. But his rest didn't involve sleep. He didn't rest in the sense that you or I do. Although he created what needed to be created, even on that day, he was still alert and watchful, looking out for his creation and ready to shower blessings on that creation that he had made. He's got the whole world in his hands, as the song goes. God can't take a break. He can't stop doing what he's doing, or everything would fall apart in an instant. In fact, that's one of the things we take for granted will never happen. God wouldn't be God if he just dropped the ball and turned his back on humankind. Psalm 121 says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." Think about all the things that God has to maintain. Think of all that he has to have in hand while we carelessly wander around down here. The sun and moon and stars, according to their order. The rain and the snow have to fall at the proper time. Every seed planted in every garden everywhere in the world has to germinate and grow. Every animal has to be provided for. The deer and the rabbits, the chickens and the cows, even the insects and the rodents. God must open his hand and give them exactly what they need to get on at the proper time. He keeps track of the whole thing. The tides have to ebb and flow correctly. Every pregnant mother's body must undergo complicated changes to prepare for childbirth. This is so scientifically mind-boggling that you're amazed the little one can be born at all. And God does this more than 4 times a second. Worldwide, all the time. When you think about all those things that God has to do to keep his creation functioning, it really is incredible. Of course, he must always be at work. The Apostle Paul told the Athenians, "In him, in God, we live and move and have our being." So it stunned the religious leaders of Jesus' day when he first spoke the words we have read, "My Father is always working. And I too am working." Jesus was making himself equal to the Father in heaven by claiming that he's doing the same work that his Father's doing. Never resting, always carrying out the business of caring for and maintaining creation. And if this were true, it could only mean one thing, that Jesus was God. Well, the Jews who were persecuting Jesus picked up on that immediately and tried all the harder to kill him. Just like the Heavenly Father is always on duty, ever watchful, always supporting what he created and made, Jesus said, "I'm working too. I do that too." Christ here made the point that he too has the whole world in his hands. And so he must be more than just a man. He must be God. Does Jesus really carry out all the work of God? Can we say that from his hand, just as from God's hand, everything comes from which is needed to keep the world alive? Or was he kind of overstating things when he claimed to be working every day? Not at all. Jesus had just finished performing a miracle which pointed to this very thing. The Jews knew about that miracle too. In fact, that's what caused them to approach him in the first place. Back in the days of Moses, God had instructed the children of Israel to observe a Sabbath day. It was Saturday. That was to be a day of rest in which they would do no regular work, and instead of doing their jobs in the fields or the marketplace or what have you, they would praise and honor God on this day, and they would be reminded of the rest for their souls which was coming in the promised Messiah. Unfortunately, over time, the Jewish leaders had added no less than 30 additional main regulations to the original Sabbath commandment, and in those regulations, they saw an opportunity to trap Jesus. For, according to them, he had unlawfully worked on the Sabbath day. Jesus had been busy, that's true. He came to that area of the sheep gate of the temple there, of Jerusalem, where there was a pool. The pool was a gathering place for many disabled and aged people, blind, lame, paralyzed. If one could get into the pool at the moment that it bubbled up during the day, that person would be healed. And Jesus came upon a man who had been an invalid for 38 years, and he said, "Do you want to be made well?" The man gave a rather hopeless answer, saying he couldn't get to the pool at the right time. At which Jesus said, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once that man was cured. He took up his bed or his mat there and walked. There's no denying that Jesus had done something on the Sabbath day. But had he been breaking a commandment? Not at all. He was carrying out the very work of God, because at one instant he demonstrated that he was able to fix something that the effects of sin had broken. In love to heal one of the wreckages of earth. There's no law against, and there was no law against, showing mercy to someone on the Sabbath and giving them your help. The Sabbath wasn't the day in which Israel was supposed to stop loving one another. Jesus did nothing against the commandments God had given. Instead, he used the day to glorify God by sustaining and upholding his creation, fixing it. Just like God the Father works every day to take care of what he's made, Jesus shows too that he is very busy every day with that very same activity. Father doesn't withdraw his gracious hand from us every Sunday, every Sabbath, and neither does his Son. 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, the Lord Jesus has his eye upon the sick and the lame and the miserable. Every day he supports and sustains and cares for this world. Paul echoes this thought when he writes of Jesus in these words from Colossians 1. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Without Jesus holding everything together by his almighty hand, everything would tumble to ruin. His law he enforces, the stars in their courses and sun in its orbit obediently shine, says the hymn verse. Why does he do this? Why is Jesus so busy with this activity? Why does he have so much concern for a world that gave him such rude treatment? Because he died for that very same world. Because he gave up his life in the most terrible of deaths on the cross so that we could be delivered up from its bondage to decay. He accepted the punishment of the world's sin for your sins and mine, so that man could rise again from the dead and live with God forever. He offered himself as an atoning sacrifice for the world. Should he not then be concerned about that world that he bought and paid for? Obviously he is concerned with each individual for whom he shed his blood. Look at how Jesus meets again in the temple the very same man he'd healed by the pool at Bethesda, and he says to him, "See, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Jesus' concern was not with the man's body, but further, for his soul. Whatever sins had been his habit, Jesus knew all about them, and he knew they were deadly and they had the potential to destroy them. So Jesus urged the man to think about the way God had healed him, and also to see God's spiritual gifts, like the forgiveness of sins, turn away from them. So there was a whole package. Jesus, always alert, always showing God's grace, always looking to care for and uphold the human race, always working on behalf of them. And it's my job to tell you this morning that nothing has changed since that day by that pool. Jesus Christ is still true God from the Father. He is still God in every sense of the word, and he still continues his work every day. To this very day, in 2012, he's still calling the rain, causing the rain to fall and the seeds to grow. Still bringing healthy children into the world. Still bringing healing through miracle and medicine. Still caring for the flowers of the field and the birds of the air. Still opening his hand to feed even the insects and the rodents. It all goes on. It continues today. In him, all things hold together. In light of this, it's a shame that we sometimes interfere in our own sinful ways. Just like the Jews tried to tell Jesus when he could or could not carry out the business of preserving life, we try to tell Jesus when he should or should not take care of this or that. How many times haven't you been upset when the Lord didn't provide for you just the way that you thought he should? When a job is hard to land, when finances at home are in trouble, when sickness and disease don't go away overnight. Isn't it easy then to complain that Jesus isn't working the things he should be working at? We place demands on him. We twist his arm with words like, "If Christ were really loving, he wouldn't do this or that, he wouldn't allow this or that. The truth is, our sinful flesh wants to question Jesus' desire and ability to work on our behalf. Our flesh wants to question whether or not the Savior really takes care of what he has made, or whether the planet is kind of just spinning all on its own. When we think like this, we're forgetting or ignoring that he himself, or what he himself has taught us. Worse yet, and this is really detestable, but I'm speaking to myself as well as to you, people sometimes want to tell Jesus when to withdraw his gracious hand as caregiver and preserver. Prophet Jonah had this problem after he had preached to the city of Nineveh and warned them of coming judgment for their sins. Surprise, Nineveh repented. They turned to the Lord. And then Jonah became angry because God was merciful to that city and spared it instead of destroying it. Well, it's sinful to wish that God would not uphold, strengthen, preserve, or help someone else. The Lord our God is the only true God of heaven and earth. He never stops holding things together. He's got the whole world in his hands. And we can be so thankful that each breath we take, each step we make, each season of seed time and harvest, the birthdays and the new years passing by, all of that is maintained by the one who loves us and humbled himself for us, even to the point of death on a cross. He is one who is 24/7, and he will never quit his job and walk away. And of that, you can always be sure. The hymn that we'll sing says, "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Amen." That same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Ask me.